Come on. Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin and I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And Oliver Newman.
Good evening.
How you doing this evening, lads?
Yes, yourself?
Very good.
All good here, thanks, Chris.
Have you been to any wrestling shows recently?
No.
I was at Pro Wrestling Subjective on Sunday. Mm. Ruckus in Rowley.
That sounds cool.
And yeah, it was, in all honesty, you've got the perfect venue for professional wrestling. A card of supremely talented men and women. Mm. Usually a show has like peaks and valleys to kind of take the fan on a roller coaster journey. Mm. But looking back at my notes and the feeling that I got live and stuff, I think this show was all peaks,
in all honesty.
They've got a great thing going with Pro Wrestling Subjective, and I'm proud to call it my home base, much like AWW in the British Wrestling Book. I'm proud to call Pro Wrestling Subjective my home.
So I just wanted to start where I went to Wrestling MediaCon. I always want to call it Wrestle MediaCon. That sounds better than Wrestling MediaCon.
Yeah, Wrestle MediaCon does sound better, actually.
It sounds bigger.
You call it that, Chris. We'll play along.
Yeah, Wrestling MediaCon, it was really fun. Me and Anthony arrived, and we got took up to, they call it the Space Bar Cantina, and it was basically just a complete rip-off of the cantina from Star Wars A New Hope. They had all weird aliens about, and a rip-off Han Solo, it looked nothing like Han Solo, standing there. And then we set up, and I wanted to thank Simon Rathstein from the Fight Network for setting us up and inviting us to the show. It was amazing. So we did our first interview with him. I'll play that at the end of this section. But yeah, thank you to him and the Fight Network UK. And it was a bit like a wrestler speed dating. There was Eddie Edwards, Trevor Lee.
You can tell us about that experience, mate.
There was Eddie Edwards, Trevor Lee, Eli Drake. I've never been speed dating, but that's what I assume it'd be like. You had 10 minutes of each person, basically. So, yeah,
I went speed dating once, but I had a drink thrown over me, so I left it at that.
that's winning, that is, Nick. Back to the show.
Yeah, so there was Eddie Edwards, Trevor Lee, Eli Drake, and Joe Hendry.
So, yeah. He makes things better.
He always makes things better. With Joe Hendry, we did discuss how he got his intros, the idea for his intros, and his current run with Impact and the reboot of WOS. Yeah, all the other interviews are really fun with Eddie Edwards and Trevor Lee and Eli Drake are all really fun to talk to. And yeah, and all the interviews will be link in the description below this podcast. But then, whilst we're waiting for our interview with Joe Hendry, my favourite YouTuber, Brian Zane from Wrestling with Regret, walked past and I was like, Brian, do you want an interview? And he's like, yes. I was like, okay. I was a bit starstruck. Luckily, I'd had two cans by then, so I was had some Dutch courage. So that's really fun.
That's when you're at your best, Chris, though, to be honest. All the interviews that you've gotten for Broken But Glorious, so when you're tipsy or drunk, so keep doing it.
I don't usually drink during our interviews. I drink during the podcast.
Well,
we don't encourage binge drinking.
No, we don't. Coming from somebody who's straight edge, no, we don't at all.
Yeah, you can tell I'm just nervous during that interview because I just giggle like a little girl the whole way through. Yeah, and then we caught a few matches from the Rev Pro, which was great. Phantasma, El Phantasmo won the British J Cup, defeating Kushida, Rich Swann and Rocky Romero in the final. That was a great match. And if you can catch it anywhere, Aussie Open versus Bandito and Flamina, I think his name was
Flamita. Also great.
Flamita, yeah, he was a really great.
Here's Flamita, here he comes again.
That was
a very good entrance theme.
Yeah, that was an amazing match. If I don't know if it's on YouTube or anything, I don't know if they filmed it. But and then as everybody was watching Rev Pro and then the World of Sport panel started, I noticed all the tables were a bit empty, so I walked up to the Cultaholic table, and I've had about 4 cans, so I'm really got loads of courage now. So then I went up to Adam Pichetti from Cultaholic and said, do you want to do an interview? And he was like, yes. I was like, really? And then he stood up. I was like,
yeah, you're pretty good with this old Dutch courage there, Lark, aren't you, Chris?
I'm okay, once I've had a couple of cans of them.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and then he stood up, I was like, fuck, you're tall. He goes, yes, I am very tall. 6'7". I've only ever seen him in videos. And he has really fun to talk to. He has a great story about the horrible things his dad used to put on pizzas and stuff. So I recommend doing that. It's good. It was only 5-6 minute interview. So it's really fun. Mm-hmm. Then we finished the night by going to the Impact versus UK. I'd recommend the Lana Roster versus Sue Young match, the LAX versus Fleisch and Storm, and the barbed wire baseball bat death match between Sammy Callahan.
Well, this was showing live on Twitch, so even though I couldn't be at WrestleMediaCon myself in person, I was able to watch this on Twitch, and apart from the really annoying ad breaks, which really took away from it, Lana Austin against Sue Young was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about making your debut in your home city on the national stage. She blew it out of the water. Mm. Jody Fleisch and Johnny Storm against LAX was absolutely incredible too. I really, really hope there's a rematch stateside between the two teams. And Jimmy Havoc against Sammy Callahan was everything a deathmatch fan would love, really.
If you're a fan of deathmatch and you're a fan of comedy wrestling, you'll love that match because it was so funny and so brutal at the same time.
Exactly. When he jumped onto the pins, that was pretty mad.
Yeah. You'd hear everyone in the crowd go, ooh!
Exactly.
That was a great, really fun. After that show, I walked outside and there was Rich Swann, Tyson T-Bone, Ollie Davis, and Luke Owen from Wrestle Talk. So I was talking to them for a little bit and I got all their autographs. And it was just amazing. So I hope they get invited again next year. So.
Is there going to be a next year?
I hope so. The episode. It was a success. It was busy. All the wrestling was amazing. So. Mm-hmm. But I'm a bit disappointed because I wanted to. Alex Shane and Greg Lambert were there, and every time I went to ask them for an interview, somebody came up and started talking to them. I was like, and there was at one point where Jeff Jarrett was just standing there by himself, and I went to ask him for a selfie, and my phone died. I was like,
oh man.
So I was like,
that's gutting.
Yeah, so I need to take a charger next time. But amazing, amazing experience. Again, check out all the interviews. There'll be a link in the description. One more thing about as we're talking about Impact, should we quickly go on to the Impact Hall of Fame? Returns of Bound for Glory, and they're going to induct one person, and they will announce it this week on Impact. So who do you think should join? So currently it's Kurt Angle, Sting, Jeff Jarrett, Team 3D, Gail Kim and Earl Hebner in the Hall of Fame at the moment. Who else do you reckon? Who should be the one this year?
Unsung hero for me, Scott D'Amore. If you look at everything he's done, dating back to when he was like booking the show and stuff, and obviously he's on the booking team with Don Callis now, TNA, NWA, TNA, Impact Wrestling, whatever incarnation you want to talk about, has been at its very best when Scott D'Amore's been involved in it.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'll say him.
Yeah, I think Scott Steiner's my number one.
Yeah.
I think just given the fact that, one, he's not going in WWE Hall of Fame anytime soon.
No, definitely not.
And obviously he's been in TNA for a while. This has obviously come from someone who doesn't watch an awful lot of TNA. I think Scott Steiner's definitely the obvious choice for me. Failing that, there's a lot that are in WWE now, so I'd say failing Scott Steiner, potentially you could go for Austin Aries.
Yeah, he's been there for a while, so.
Well, he's been there and obviously went to WWE and has obviously come back there. So, Aries is my second one, but I think, Scott Steiner is my obvious one.
I've gone for Awesome Kong. That could be a good way to get some eyes on it with how good Glow's going. Got reviews for Glow have been.
Yeah, Awesome Kong is. It, you know, Gail Kim going in the other year. Mm. Awesome Kong might be a really good choice.
And the other one's Abyss, because he's been there since day dot. He's rejected WWE a couple of times because he just wants to make Impact the best it can be.
Good shout.
So here is our interview with Sammy Rathmore from Fight Club TV, and then we'll be reviewing Hell in a Cell. Hello and welcome to Program Glorious. I'm delighted to be joined by Simon Rothstein.
Hello.
How are you doing, Simon?
Yeah, good. Enjoying Wrestling Media Con. It's been a fun weekend.
Who was your favourite wrestler growing up?
Hulk Hogan. Okay. Just loved him. Oh, massive Hulkamaniac. And then also Ultimate Warrior, that match. In fact, I was more of a warrior by the time of WrestleMania 6. More of a little warrior, whatever.
I was a savage,
yeah. You were more savage, yeah.
I like the smaller athletes.
Right,
yeah. Maybe the tough, massive guys. Yeah. What's your favourite movie starring a wrestler?
Oh, that is a good one. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, probably.
Yeah.
But that's like, I don't know if that's because of Dave Bautista's in it or
he's
not.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, it's just that he's brilliant. And but the second one, the first one, I thought was fantastic. Mm.
I still haven't seen Infinity Wars. It's on the list, hasn't it? We're meant to be doing a top 20 films with wrestlers in. That's coming out. Like,
you've got to see
15.
I haven't
seen
really? It, so. I mean, that even more is like, I mean, it just happens that there's a wrestler in it, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a massive cast of characters. Other than that, the other film that I absolutely love, obviously The Wrestler. I'm guessing there are some wrestlers in it, right?
R-Truth said that qualified for that list.
Yeah.
It's like half a scene when they get changed.
Yeah, The Wrestler is probably the greatest movie about wrestling ever made.
Yeah. How do you feel about putting pineapple on pizza?
Oh, that's quite a common question, actually. Mm. A lot of people ask. I don't particularly have it myself, but I don't have a problem with people having it. I'm on the fence on that.
I'll do one more. So,
cool.
Which two wrestlers would you do tables for free with?
Would I do what for free?
Table for free. It's on the WWE.
Oh yeah.
If you could pick two wrestlers, what would you like to do?
I don't really watch much WWE Network. who would I pick? Probably Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that would be a good one to talk to them about it.
Do you want to promote your social media before we go?
So people can follow Fight Network on at Fight Net UK or Fight Network UK on Facebook.
Can I talk about WOS wrestlers? It's only just dawned on me, I'm sick of the hate, in all honesty. I mean, this could be a rant or whatever, I don't really mind. And so you can keep it in. People have been begging for British wrestling to be back on TV since the revival days, so that's 2002.
Mm.
16 years later, it's on national TV. The product's good, in ring and stuff. I haven't seen a bad show. So far, I'm a few behind. I think people are complaining for complaining's sake, in all honesty. If you told people the sky was blue, they'd say it was green. And it really frustrates me as somebody who's given up 14 years of my adult life to write about professional wrestling. One of the key things I wanted was British wrestling being back on national TV. That we've got it, and everyone's just, criticising it. And it's really frustrating on the outside looking in, because this is everything that we've all wanted. You know, the likes of Alex Shane, he's done so much to get British wrestling on TV. So many people behind the scenes, I'm forgetting names. Everyone wanted this moment. I wanted it so badly in 2009, it didn't come to pass. And now you're getting like Rev Pro on, that's going to be on Sky TV on Free Sports and stuff. And everyone just needs to understand that in 2018, you've never had it better. And I've been watching it for 27 years. And we need to step back and we need to be fans again, in all honesty. There you go.
My only complaint with WOS is the Russian storyline. I know it's only 10 episodes. But the whole Maxted Cruz, they went from break it up to a lose or lose title match next show.
Well, I did say I was behind, but thanks for the spoiler. I'm on I'm on the tag team title, the one before the tag team title match final. So, yeah.
I won't tell you the leaves, but I would have had, they break up, have two matches where maybe one match they get double count outs, next match somebody wins, or Cruz wins by cheating, and then have a loser leaves match on the last show.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It's difficult because they've only got 10 shows.
Yeah.
If they had the WWE all year long, or NXT UK or what have you, then you're looking at a different kind of, well, for a family-friendly product, I mean, you know, I've watched this with family members and we've enjoyed it up and down. I mean, we saw Gabriel Kidd versus Liam Slater on my lap, and the last one I watched.
Mm-hmm.
And the wrestling there, from a technical world of sport style wrestling, and it was back in the day, was absolutely on point, and it was absolutely fantastic.
I've enjoyed
each week's show. I'm just behind because, you know, there's not enough hours in the day.
I've really enjoyed every show. Just I've seen the storylines a bit rushed, and there has, I like a bit more focus on the heavyweight championship. But
fair enough.
I'm quite happy.
Well, that rant wasn't for you, Chris. It was for everyone else who's complaining about it.
Me and my kids both love it.
That's all that matters. It's family friendly, you know, fun. And if they're looking for a time slot and they can't get Saturday afternoon for whatever reason, I'll put it on Sunday morning.
Yeah. I say my 3-year-old loves Justin Size. We call him Superman Wrestler, and he's
he's incredible.
Yeah.
He's come out of nowhere and really, really impressed me.
Yeah, they did a WOS panel, and he usually travels the world doing a Marvel superhero circus type thing.
Okay,
that's what he's been doing recently. He used to be a wrestler, then went off and did that for a couple of years. But then,
oh, okay,
That finished, and they gave him a call, and he said he came and done this.
No, Justin Size reminds me of who was the one on World of Sport? Was it Eddie Dennis? The one from Plymouth.
Yeah, I like Eddie Dennis.
Yeah, I would liken them two kind of characters, but then Justin Size is just fantastic. Athletically, I mean, the 450 splash is a really, really cool move to see that big man do.
This is a self-professed master of the bat break, Drake Winner, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Back to Hell and Cell.
There you go.
So did anyone watch the kickoff show?
Nick actually watched the kickoff show, so, you know, we've got to talk about that.
I didn't see it. I've only saw the highlights where we're on the show.
Nick, you still with us?
I'm still here, yeah.
It looked like a good match. I only saw the end of it.
So. That was a fantastic match.
Hmm.
Don't you think, Nick?
Yeah, it was a good match. Good opening to obviously the pre-show. Obviously, you haven't got all the fans in the arena yet. Quite a few people getting drinks or food for the show. So it was quite an empty arena, it looked like, for that. But yeah, no. Overall, I thought it was a very good match. I think there was obviously a bit of story I'm telling again. I think there was an error with Aiden English and Rusev. So what I was thinking about a month ago, look, they were moving away from them splitting up, and now it looks like they're headed back into them splitting up again.
I can't see any money in a English Rusev feud, but I can't see money in them staying together.
But the thing is, in this situation though, Chris, they're organically created, like Zack Ryder was.
Yeah.
And obviously, for whatever reason, WWE doesn't like it when that's the case. Rusev Day was, you know, the fans started that, no one else did. They should have gone all the way over, and they should have been the tag team champions. I think beforehand, is Rusev go for the US title once, you know, not a long time ago. He probably should have won that. And in all honesty, he's one of the best heavyweights who's never been a real universal champion.
Yeah,
that's how highly I think of him.
Every pay-per-view match he's had since his world title match has been a pre-show match.
Wow.
That's how far he's fell.
Yeah.
But it's only a 10-minute long match. Couldn't they fitted it on the main card somewhere? Take a couple of minutes off the Jeff Hardy awesome match itself, wasn't it? 25 minutes long.
Well, yeah, especially given it's one of the big belts as well. Well, it is a belt, and given the Intercontinental wasn't being used on the show. Speaking of that, I did love a tweet by WWE before. They got all the big Raw titles are on the line.
I thought this match was a fabulous way to start the show. Go on, Nick.
No, I was going to say, I don't watch a lot of pre-show matches, but if it was very good for a pre-show match. So the only disappointment was, obviously, that there wasn't many people in the ground watching, so all I could see was empty seats. But again, obviously, You can't rush people into the stadium. Obviously, they want to do it at their own time. They've probably maybe gone for a few, I don't know, like the pub before or something. So, or bars, as they call it in America. Or even say you're just getting refreshments for the show or going for a quick toilet break before it starts. So, but there seems to be a lot of empty seats in the throughout the match.
See, I didn't notice that. I was completely enthralled with the action. The miscommunication leads, helps the storyline along. But much like you guys, I don't want to see the end of Aiden English and Rusev. But you can see it happening. They're better as a tag team, and then maybe in the future to do the split. But you know, they could have won the tag titles in this kickoff show match. That's how much I believed in them. So, the fans in the arena were chanting Rusev Day. And, it's like, well, what more do you want? The fans are buying the merchandise, which we all know merchandise is a huge thing in WWE. Mm-hmm. And, you've got to take a chance on them, give them the tag team titles and see where they go with them. But if you're not going to take a chance on somebody, then how will you ever know?
Yeah, definitely. So the main card opened with Randy Orton defeating Jeff Hardy. For the most part, I didn't think this needed to be a cage match. I thought it was basically a TLC match in a cell. So, I didn't think it was a bad match. I thought it was really brutal, and I thought both guys gave them all. And if you see the photos on Instagram of Orton,
Orton putting a screwdriver through Jeff Hardy's ear.
That made me sick a little bit.
I can't remember the last time I watched a WWE match.
That was crazy.
That was not PG.
I've looked, Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton. I watched some of the matches from 2008 for my latest book, and like every time they get together in the ring, it's just magic. Mm-hmm. I really, really like that tandem of Orton and Hardy, and they were showing off the results between the two, and I think it was 5-4 or something, so it's been evenly spread.
Yeah,
and then they met in Hell in a Cell, which is something they haven't done before. Jeff Hardy's not done it before, and then Jeff Hardy does the crazy ending.
Yeah,
and
it's like, a bit of
this is exactly what you want from a Jeff Hardy match.
There's a bit of timing was a bit out because Orton got off that table long before he fell. Back in the day, if it was one of the Hardy Dudley boys, they would have got off last second. He must have seen.
Yeah.
I would have liked Orton to be on the table slightly longer.
The thing is, in that situation, though, Chris, if he leaves it longer and he falls, then you've messed up that way as well.
But only slightly, longer.
It's a difficult one. But I thought the match was, you said it off air, Chris, this pay-per-view was more extreme than Extreme Rules.
It definitely is.
And this was the opening match.
Yeah.
You couldn't watch this in front of the family. but if you wanted non-PG WWE, then you got it in this match, and it delivered in spades. I thought it was a fantastic opening to the show.
Yeah, I think for the storyline aspect, it's a great way to end the feud and hopefully writes Jeff off for a while to get his back injury sorted.
Well, the thing with like Randy Orton as well is it puts him in a great position, because he said he was going to go and basically do the Legend Killer stuff again, didn't he? But obviously not Legend Killer, but go after people's heroes. So if he's taking out Jeff Hardy and he goes after somebody else and he takes that person out, then Randy Orton has become vicious and brutal and everything we liked back when he was taking on Foley in Backlash in 2004. And then there's obviously been some times where he hasn't felt respected and stuff, and the storyline really feels legit, in all honesty. And it'll be great to see what happens next, because, like you said, Jeff Hardy. But then he said Jeff Hardy walked out the medical facility on WWE.com, so I don't know where they're going with this one. But it was a cracking start to the show. They wrestled, a bit Randy Orton match, bit Jeff Hardy match, and a Jeff Hardy ending. And, that's always fascinating to see.
Yeah, as I say, I can't remember the last time I watched a WWE match where where you're actually looking away at times. That screwdriver and stuff, I don't want to think about it, but sick, yeah. I look away. And I can't remember the last time I've done that in a WWE environment where I had to look away because I was a bit too, it's going to be painful. So no, it's good. Yeah. It's good. And I'm not so asking for every match to be like that. It was refreshing to see. It was a very refreshing match.
The thing is, in this situation, Nick, the Attitude Era, I'm not sure if that's before your time or whatever, the Attitude Era, you used to have this kind of thing every match. Now you're not getting it every match, it becomes more special.
Well, that's it, yeah, exactly. And so it was a fantastic opening show, really, really enjoyed the match. So it was very brutal at times. And again, it's just the Randy Orton there. It's the best kind of Randy Orton, isn't it?
Yeah, Hale Orton's the best. So next up, Becky Lynch wins the title from Charlotte. Yay!
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, so it was another very good match, another pleasing finish, as we've all seen. I thought there was good heat overall, and Becky worked brilliantly. I'm thinking WWE are trying to make a heel, but the fans aren't they're booing Charlotte rather than. So I'd like it if Charlotte turned on the fans and turned heel.
Well, I thought we were going to get that at the end of the show. At the end of the match, sorry. Yeah. I thought that was leading to that. Because I think, Becky as a heel, it's gone down fantastic. Obviously, WWE one would be annoyed
if it's gone
down. I don't
want as a heel. I want to be like a stone cold Becky type thing.
Yeah, it's just gone down so well. I don't know if this is a heel Becky. This badass Becky, we'll call it.
Yeah.
Has just gone down so well with the fans, which I quite agree with. I think it's been excellent.
Did you guys see that they were confiscating the Boo the Woo signs?
No.
In support of Becky Lynch. That's what I read online.
Yeah, did you notice how the commentators were really onto how Becky is the heel, that she's turned her back on her best friend and how terrible it was? And it's like, no, that's not the story.
The thing is, in this situation, though, Becky's been turned on how many times? By everyone. So, you know, there's only so much you can do with that, really.
But that's not the story they've been
Natalia
telling,
Natalia turned on her.
Yeah.
Everyone turned on her. And then finally she's turned her back and the fans are thoroughly behind her because they still believe in the Becky Balboa story.
But she hasn't turned her back, she's just frustrated that Charlotte keeps getting inserted into all her opportunities. She hasn't turned her back. That's the story they've been playing, but last night the commentators were trying to put on her that Becky's turned her back on her best friend, but that's not the story they've been telling for the last couple of weeks on SmackDown. So.
Well, it's WWE revisionist history, isn't it? That's exactly how it's been. Charlotte's won the title and Becky's been happy for her, and then Charlotte gets inserted into the SummerSlam SmackDown Live Women's title match with Carmella, and Becky wins the title, and then, you know, she gets inside the week before, I think it was, wins the title, and it was going to be Becky and Carmella one-on-one, and Becky would have won that match, probably.
I'd love to see Charlotte's average title reign.
Charlotte's not the opportunity.
She's had loads of titles. I'd love to see the average Charlotte title reign length. It must be less than 2 months. She wins the title and loses it straight away all the time. So. Do you reckon they're due to face each other again at Super Show Down Under, or whatever it's called, and then again at Evolution. Do you see Charlotte winning it in Australia and then Becky winning
the
back at Evolution?
The greatest ever Super Show known to mankind, Down Under, the greatest Royal Rumble on the ring.
Well, they're going back to Saudi Arabia in November, aren't they?
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Sorry for Nick.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
You should be kicked off the podcast for that forever and ever and ever, because you're now making me cry.
Oh, so next up we had...
At least it wasn't as bad as your speed dating experience, Nick.
So next up, do you reckon it's tag team match of the year?
Yes.
That
was awesome. I've christened those guys the Raw 4 after the SmackDown 6 from 2002.
Yeah.
McIntyre, Ambrose, Rollins, and Ziggler are the four workhorses of Raw. And you put any element of that match, one-on-one or whatever, then yeah, you're guaranteed, because obviously Rollins versus Ziggler from SummerSlam is a match of the year candidate, and this is one of the best tag team matches all year. It was astonishingly good.
In our end of year awards, how many Seth Rollins matches will be in it? Do you reckon it could be all four? It's him versus Miz, his versus Ziggler, and then this match. Probably.
Someone's having a crashing good time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he's been, I think with Seth, he's clearly been superstar of the year, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's been absolutely excellent all year long.
Well, you said with AJ Styles, Nick, and you said that's what you'd like to see at Survivor Series.
Beg your pardon?
You said that Seth Rollins has had the kind of year that AJ Styles has had.
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. AJ Styles, last year he stole the year, didn't he? Well, he stole 2016 and 17, for that matter. Seth's completely and utterly stolen the year. But this match, yeah, was excellent. It just ticks every box that you're looking for in a tag team match, really, isn't it? And it just proves that tag team wrestling, if booked correctly like this was, booked from start to finish, can be an absolute dream to watch, to be fair, can't it? I mean, it was brilliant from start to finish.
It was like the revival against American Alpha. It was like revival against American Alpha. It was like revival against Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Like you said, tag team wrestling, if booked correctly, with the right amount of time, with the right people, can be absolutely incredible. And I was so proud to be a fan watching this match.
Oh, no, this is a great match. My girlfriend put down her phone and watched it and said, I really enjoyed that match.
Tag team wrestling, I think, on its day is up there. Anything like I say, DIY versus the Revival over Toronto from 2016, I think it was. Yeah, 2016 NXT Toronto. That was insane. That was one of the best.
The two about a 3-4 match, no, Nick.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just insane. As I say, I'm a huge fan of tag team wrestling. As it is, I feel like there's so many great teams on Raw and SmackDown that aren't used correctly, which really annoys me. But that's for another subject. And I think again, it just proves that if you do book and you do allow superstars to do stuff, this happens. And the ending, I thought, was just superb. As well, really, just that the kick by McIntyre with Dolph falling, it was just brilliant. And I was hoping the Shield was gonna end with all the gold, but I've got no complaints with Drew and Dolph. And I will say something about McIntyre. I think he's been probably, I think I've said this on the last show, didn't I, or the show before, that he's been probably the, well, I think he's been the best out of everyone since the Superstar Shake-Up.
Yeah, definitely.
Out of everyone who was shaken up, obviously.
The interesting thing here to me, just off the top of my head, is I'd love to know who produced this match behind the scenes, because I haven't read about it online, but it would be really interesting to find out who put this match together along with the four wrestlers in the ring, because they need to be involved in every tag match going forward.
Yeah, definitely. Next up was AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. I've made many notes on this. I've heard it's a great match between the two. I think they played off the storyline really well. There's another match at Super Showdown, which I'm really looking forward to.
The thing is, in this situation, Chris, the pre-match video, my gosh, that was creepy.
Yeah.
In like a really cool VT way. I mean, if you weren't behind AJ Styles going into this match, unless you respect Joe for what he's done and want him to be the champion, you're never going to be behind AJ Styles, because that was just when WWE does the VT stuff correctly, they nail it. And I thought the same at SummerSlam, including during the match as well. And then before this match was just, you know, fantastic. And the ending to the match as well, I thought, was superbly done. And unlike Styles versus Nakamura, where we weren't sure of when we'll get that great match, I think you've had, you know, two excellent matches in different ways. And long may this series continue. And to go against everything I've just said, I really hope that Samoa Joe comes out with the title when it's all said and done.
I can't see him losing because the title till after the game's released, because AJ Styles is the cover.
Yeah, he's the face of WWE 2K19. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I think Ryan's wrestling The Miz in a number one contenders match at the super strong showdown, whatever it is.
Yeah, so I can see, yeah. And then Miz wins, and then Brian wins the Royal Rumble. And then
I'm just hoping, which Nick said, Survivor Series, AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins, and then that'll be like Christmas comes early for me, because I watched a match on the indie scene when Seth Rollins was just starting out, and AJ was kind of established, and he said he's given him the fight of his life in that match, and to then go and see that on the big stage in WWE on a big four pay-per-view would just be music to my ears. That'd be absolutely superb.
Oops, excuse me. Sorry, just burped.
No, I don't want to hear that.
You don't agree with that, lads, no?
Yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting at Survivor Series where they go with the show versus brand like from the last couple of years. Because there is... This is kind of the last proper pay-per-view until then. Because they've got the show down under, and then they've got the Evolution, and then they've got the Saudi Arabia show.
Spoiler. Yeah.
And then it's I think it's TLC in December, so that'll be the next.
And then there's a NXT as well, isn't there?
Yeah, they may not do Raw vs SmackDown this year.
No, they'll definitely do it, Nick. It's been every year, mate. Unless something drastically changes.
Yeah, they have started. I have seen on Twitter actually recently they have started doing digs between Corbin and Paige.
Yeah. So,
yeah, they probably will actually, in all fairness.
If you look back at Survivor Series, like me and you were up for Survivor Series last year, and we were tweeting about it. One of us was Raw, one of us was SmackDown. And then obviously from my 2016 book, they did a Raw versus SmackDown on that. So unless something drastically changes, it should be Raw versus SD Live once again.
I fell asleep during the main event last year.
After AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar, that was the main event last year.
That wasn't. The main event was Raw versus SmackDown, wasn't it?
Try to remember.
Yeah.
Styles Lesnar was match of the night.
Yeah, Styles Lesnar, yeah. It must have been a 5-on-5. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Should we move on to the Ronda Rousey match? So she's beat Alexa Bliss in 12 minutes. And unfortunately, I missed this match.
And I don't give a damn about my reputation.
It's like everything I've been saying since WrestleMania, to be honest. Non-gender specific, Ronda Rousey's the hottest star in the company.
Do you have any concern about how she's been booked going forward? She's looking so unstoppable at the moment.
I think it's quality. I love the way, and I was a big fan of, she literally put Bliss in the armbar. It wasn't even locked in, pretty much, and Bliss was tapping out sort of thing, which I was a big fan of it. I don't think there was any botch there or anything like that. I think it was just good for both of them, and I think I like the way she's also improving her acting as well. I'm a big fan of the way she was still selling the rib injury as well when she won the match.
Do you think she can do that so well because she's legitimately hurt her ribs properly fighting, so she knows what it feels like, so there's no real fakeness to it?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
The thing is, in this situation, though, is I don't think Alexa Bliss looked weak in that match.
No, not at all.
I think both people have come out looking strong, and you've kept, you know, Ronda, and then Bliss can go to where she needs to go to. Well, I'm guessing they're building towards Rousey against Natalia down the line. That looks like it's going to happen to me, and that'll be fantastic.
I think obviously Bliss and Trish will start there. Probably, I think it's at the super showdown. It's Rousey and the Bellas versus the Riot Squad, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I imagine they'll build for that over the next sort of couple of weeks or so, how long it is, 2-3 weeks. And then I reckon I've got a feeling that
The Bellas have beaten all the Riot squad over the last couple of weeks. So now they're going to put them in a 6-woman tag with the baddest horse woman.
the Riot squad looked strong.
Yeah, but the best way of doing it was to have the Riot squad beat the Bellas, so that the Bellas would have to bring in Ronda Rousey to help them. But at the moment, they're just making themselves stronger, even though they keep beating them.
it was like when it was back in 2011, John Cena versus The Miz, R-Truth and The Miz. John Cena beat them in a handicap match. And then had to go and get The Rock to help him. That's Survivor Series.
Although, to be fair, in 2013 at TLC, CM Punk beat The Shield on his own.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? That's three men against one. And it was bloody brilliantly done if you ever want to go and watch a handicap match. That was absolutely superb.
So there apparently a full leaked card for Evolution has been released. Have you guys seen it?
No.
Yeah, I saw the photo you put in the group chat. And that's what I'm thinking about. If it is genuine, I can see Nikki Bella versus Rousey, I can see after them, even if it's one of them turning sort of, if the Bellas turn heel or what have you, I can see it being that.
Spoilers, Nick!
What's the spoilers?
No, it's opinion. Carry on. I'm only joking.
Well, do you want me to go through the card? Or you?
I don't think I've seen the card, to be honest. The card doesn't tell you everything, does it?
It's rumours.
Exactly.
Loads of people say it's rubbish. Loads of people say it's I don't know. You can't. It's just internet rumours, isn't it? Exactly. But no, I'm looking forward to it though. But as I said, it'll be interesting where they do go. But as I said, I think with the match itself, I think the strongest thing that came out of it is the armbar. I think that's the thing that just looks strongest out of everything. How powerful the move is and how dangerous it is and how just I think that's probably the thing that's come out looking the strongest out of everything in that match.
Yeah.
Apparently they released this card because ticket sales are really bad for Evolution. They've only sold 7,000 out of a 16,000 stadium. So apparently by releasing this card they're hoping more people will go to it.
Well, that's really frustrating in itself, you know what I mean? Everyone's, wants this women's wrestling and this women's evolution in real life across sports and across everything. And then the opportunity to pay, as long as the prices aren't too high, I'm not sure about them, but the opportunity to pay, be a part of it and watch something that will go down in history, and people don't want to do it. And it's like, well, you say give Divas a chance, that hashtag that led to all this, and this is the next step, and you've just got to keep on supporting the women's wrestlers, and it's frustrating from the outside looking in that they're not really doing that. Maybe there'll be a big walk up in the end with the card being released and people getting on board.
A main event of Ronda Rousey versus John Cena's girlfriend doesn't work. That's all Nikki Bella's been portrayed for the last 3 years as John Cena's girlfriend, not as a badass who has a chance against Ronda Rousey.
Fair point.
It might have been better if you're going to bring Strish or Lita in, put her against Strish. Rousey.
Strish.
Maybe, yeah.
Strish,
I suppose.
That's the one, yeah.
Block Show Mania.
The card looks alright. I would have had Sasha versus Bayley should be on the card.
It's like, how long are you leaving that? Because, like you said, that probably happened at TLC now, isn't it? Because if it happens before then, let's say, like the Survivor Series, it wouldn't be Raw versus SmackDown Live.
No.
So, they've left that way too long. It should have happened at SummerSlam.
I missed the match off it.
Have you?
We haven't discussed Daniel Bryan and Miz's match.
Yeah, but that was the penultimate match, anyone.
Oh, that was. I thought that was a really bad match. I think they're very smart. Well, the whole. I thought the focus of the match was wrong. The focus of the match was Bree and Maurice. When the should be Miz and Bray.
Yes and no.
I don't care about Bray and Maurice.
Okay, but then to the casual fan, obviously the hardcore wrestling fan of Bryan and the Miz, but the storyline's been built up that it's Maurice and Miz against Bryan, so that's why Bree got involved. I thought it was smartly worked, in all honesty.
I think they smartly worked. They did quite well keeping Bray and Miz interactions to a minimal. But
Bree got the hands on the Miz, which was non-PG again and non-politically correct again, because they don't want to have intergender matches, but they'll have Rousey tee off on Triple H and Bree obviously on the Miz. It's one that I didn't expect to go that way. I expected it to be Bryan and Bree, but once again, it just adds to the storyline. And you know, look back at 2013 to 2014 for Bryan. Everything about that was not very good for Bryan until the ending. The amount of times he went into a match against Randy Orton and stuff, and I kind of switched off at that point, really, because you knew he wasn't going to win the title back, and then I finally come back into it when he beat Triple H and Batista and Randy Orton in the same night.
Yeah.
So let's just hope the payoff's Daniel Bryan versus The Miz for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Nothing else will matter then.
These shenanigans again, that Super Showdown on the way it's called, where Miz wins the number one contender match.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't keen on that match. So I'm not a huge fan on intergender tags if the men and women can't fight each other. I just don't see it.
Well, it's not intergender, it's mixed, Chris.
I
understand where you're coming from. Well, the mixed match challenge could have been absolutely incredible. And we talked about it, we talked about reviewing it and stuff. And then when it came down to it and the women were wrestling the women, the men were wrestling the men.
Hmm.
It's just like every other match we've ever seen lately. So there's nothing special to it, but they could have
Rousey
gone on
into WrestleMania. When her and Triple H went up against it, the crowd went.
I would pay to be in a venue to see Rousey versus Triple H, and I wouldn't be the only person. I reckon that could sell out a pay per view.
I saw glimpses of it in America. I never mentioned I went there.
you haven't mentioned that so far tonight, Nick. So, but that. Just there, because like when Rousey and Kurt Angle were against Triple H and Stephanie, and I said at the time, I was thinking she's just going to come in, she's going to tap Stephanie out really quickly.
Yeah.
But the match that they worked was absolutely fantastic. And when Rousey was teeing off on Triple H, I know Nick was there jumping up and down, and I was doing it at home, and it was amazing. And it shows that if you book it correctly, much like the tag team wrestling we talked about beforehand, you can do this.
Hmm.
And they've just got to take that risk with it, because obviously it comes back to the non-PG elements, which we've seen throughout this pay-per-view. And, there'll be a backlash to it, won't there, because of how things are in the world today. But it would be equality, men against women, and, that's what everyone's striving for. That's, men and women want the same pay and so on and so forth, and that's how it should be. So if they want to wrestle each other, more power to them.
Yeah, I remember when there was rumours of Charlotte was going to be in the next Cruiserweight Classic, and everyone was like, yeah, that'd be amazing. shall we move on to the main event, which was a bit befuddling?
It was an unbelievable ending. I never saw that happening.
I never saw that happening.
It was fantastic. And to be fair, I think it was looking like during the match, and the match was fantastic. The ending was brilliant, and then I was thinking this could be one of the best pay-per-views ever. And then
and
it just
stopped.
And it just ended, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I just was lost for words. I was like, why is it finished? I was like, it's like me watching, there's like 10 minutes of a movie left and you just switched it off. And it just made absolutely zero sense to end it like that. I mean, it was all fantastic. I mean, you say the match itself was brilliant. Dolph
Dolph Drew coming out, the Shield coming out, and going up on the cell. Fantastic.
Say, at that point, does Braun Strowman have a steel thing in his abdomen? Because Reigns speared him, and then they both lay on the floor for 20 minutes.
It might be like when Bret Hart put that steel thing around him and took a Goldberg in to spear him in Toronto, I think it was.
Strowman's took a CrossFit.
But I say it was all fantastic. I mean the Dolphin Seth going for the tables was the most predictable thing I don't know that I ever saw coming. But I was really hoping something was going to happen off the cell. But I mean, you have to accept that we're not in that industry, and obviously that all of them have got careers ahead of them.
See, this is the interesting thing you say there, Nick. You say you were averted your eyes during the Jeff Hardy Randy Orton match because it was non-PG. And then you want someone to fly off the Hell in the Cell?
Well, yeah. I was all going fantastic. Lesnar's music hit, and I marked it out. So I'd never expect. I thought he was completely and utterly done with.
Oh, he looks amazing because he's only been gone a month. How much he looks? He's not fat and bloated and red anymore.
To be honest, guys, he looks like he wants it again.
He looked like he wanted it again.
And you talk about the ending, Nick. That's how they used to do cliffhangers, mate. In Your House 13, Bret Hart, Undertaker, Vader and Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart wins the title, and the ending was Psycho Sid, who was number one contender, coming to the ring to confront Bret Hart, and they went off the air like that.
No, I'm not looking. I say when Lesnar came out, fantastic. It was brilliant. And you say he does look. That was the biggest pop Lesnar's had for a long, long time. I know because it wasn't announced or anything. That might have helped him.
Mm-hmm.
It added to the whole buzz of it all. And that was brilliant. He came out looking fired up. I loved the beard, was quality. But then it just ended. I just thought, like, at least even if you put like both.
Well, it would have made
their arm over each other.
Well, he has fired.
Lesnar's come in and he's beat down both people.
But EF5 Reigns onto Strowman. Will that make sense that then Strowman pins him?
I don't know, but Lesnar
doesn't want either of them to win because Strowman was Monster in the Bank, overseeing Lesnar versus Reigns. And then
can't the referee count to 10
Reigns
and it's a double?
Involved in the ending that cost Lesnar the match. So already want either of them to win.
But it's a Hell in a Cell match. Mick Foley's falling off the cell twice. And we
know that Roman Reigns can get up from multiple F5s. He's done it.
I'd have generally just done it. Put them both of them crawled over each other, and both of them put an arm over each other. Or so. But not the referee just coming down, having both look at both men and go, nah. This is finished.
Yeah, we'll call this one.
Yeah,
in all honesty,
it'd be better if that referee counted to 10, but both knocked out.
Yeah, he could have done that. In all honesty, though, lads, it's great. Interesting debate between the three of us, isn't it? And it's got us all talking, and it's got Nick wanting to watch Raw at some point, spoiler free.
According to Dave Meltzer, Lesnar signed a short term deal to have a match in Saudi Arabia in November.
Yeah, I've seen an article on the Sun, but I think it was it just came up on my Facebook or Twitter page. I didn't actually read it in the newspaper. It just came up on the on Facebook or Twitter. Yeah, sorry to all fellow Liverpool listeners. So I certainly don't buy it, but there's another subject. Basically you're saying that what you just said about Lesnar short term.
You saw an article online, Nick, there you go. Are you out of that nice big hole you create for yourself, mate?
Hang on, I've got 20 messages now from people saying all jokes aside, I think Lesnar short term deal, it can't hurt. I've got a feeling they'll keep doing short term deals. I mean, he's probably got a good relationship with WWE, hasn't he? If the money's right, he's definitely gonna have a good relationship.
I think if he looks this motivated, then I'm happy.
I watched him
in the Beast in the East, the network show against the New Day, and he destroyed all three of them, and nobody gained in that match. And that's kind of how it's been. I mean, if you go back to Brock Lesnar versus John Cena, you talk about a non-PG match. That's what they had at Extreme Rules. Can't remember the year.
When his first match since he returned.
Yeah, when Lesnar returned, and that's the Brock Lesnar I want to see, and that'll be quite close to 2002-2004 Lesnar, and then you can, by all means, build the company around him, but he just hasn't looked motivated since at least the Beast in the East.
Exactly. It's just really refreshing. I know it's weird that we were only talking about a month ago at SummerSlam. Everyone was delighted to see the back of him. It is just funny. I'm myself. It just makes wrestling this crazy sport that we all love. That a month later.
But the thing is, in this situation, Brock Lesnar is a collegiate wrestler, and will always be a collegiate wrestler. So if he was, the matches he had against Kurt Angle, SmackDown 2002, 2004, until when he left against Goldberg and Austin was the referee. If we can get back to and we can tap into that Brock Lesnar, then it'll be absolutely superb to watch. But unfortunately, it's gone the other way. And it seemed like he was all about the money. But Lesnar on Sunday looked motivated as hell. And that's the Brock Lesnar I want to see.
Cool.
Where did Drew and Ambrose go as well?
I was thinking, what happens afterwards? So they just slowly climb down and go, I hate you. But we can't fight because we're not getting paid anymore. It's finished. I was thinking about that as well.
I was just hoping. I was just hoping when Lesnar's beating the crap out of the two of them, just going to fly through this.
They lay up there because they didn't want to get F5, mate.
It was probably
actually one of my favourite pay-per-views of the year, I think, WWE-wise.
I think I haven't seen NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. I'm working on that. But I think wrestling's been on a roll now. So Slammiversary by Impact Wrestling was fantastic. SummerSlam was All In, which we're going to talk about briefly in a minute. And then Hell in a Cell. It's on a hell of a roll. It really is. From kickoff to the main event, that's one of the pay-per-views of the year. Everything was just on point, either from a storyline perspective or from an in-ring wrestling perspective. And it made me proud to be a fan.
Well, it did, and to be fair, I rarely stay up for them anymore, whether that's, I think that's just me, obviously, me losing a bit of interest in WWE, whatever, but now, I was buzzing that I stayed up for it. So I can't remember the last time I generally enjoyed a pay-per-view, and I was so happy I stayed up for it, because, I think that was probably the first one I've actually stayed up for, I think. I think it's the first one I've stayed up
for. For a while, Nick.
It's since the Royal Rumble, I think. Obviously, WrestleMania, for obvious reasons, I didn't stay up for it. As I mentioned,
you're almost as good as plugging WrestleMania and the NXT takeover that you saw whilst you was viewing WrestleMania, whilst you was in New Orleans, as I am plugging my books, Nick.
Yeah, well, I haven't mentioned it much. It's just letting the fans know that giving me a character, basically. but no, I'd say this: the first one I stayed up to, since the Royal Rumble, I think, and I'm just so glad I did. I thought it was fantastic. And I say, if WWE can do that every time I start, then I'll be a happy man, because it's made me want to. Because I used to love it, obviously, when I was a bit more younger, when I had a lot more sort of, even when I was got college and stuff next day, I'd love standing up for the shows. But, so I've gone a bit off doing it, but now, it was constantly at work on Monday, which helped, and it was a last minute decision to stay up, and I'm so delighted I did, and it was a decision well made, and so thank you for WWE for paying the. They repaid me, my babe, and me staying up.
That's the one.
Trying to find the words then. But no, excellent pay-per-view. So,
you're tongue-tied, Nick. That's obviously a good sign. See, for me, this would be the kind of pay-per-view that when I was a teenager and stuff, coming in from a Sunday league football, going to bed, getting up to watch ECW, and this would have been the perfect show for me to watch and then go back to bed and go to school or college the next day, like Nick said. I really, really enjoyed this from start to finish. Absolutely fantastic. And the tag team match will go down, much like the IC title matches and feuds in 2016. This tag team and the Raw 4 will be looked upon in years to come as some of the greatest singles and tag team wrestling that you've seen, really. And it was a pleasure to watch it and to talk about it on a BBGW pod.
B team, go, go, go.
This is Ryan Parrott, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
As a quick, just quickly, we're 2 weeks out from All In, and we haven't discussed it on the show yet. So what were your quick thoughts on it?
For me, I watched it with Best of the British Indies, Tom Baker, and we loved it, in all honesty. The Fatal 4-Way, the women's match, was absolutely superb.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a bad match on the show, and obviously there was different intriguing matches. It's one of those ones where I looked at with Pentagon Junior and Phoenix, and obviously the rumours were they're going to WWE and stuff, and I was like, please stay away from them, because they've torn it up in Impact Wrestling, and they are just like I said on the chat off air, they're the best tag team in the world for me, the Lucha Brothers. Absolutely adore them. They're amazing. And Cody versus Nick Aldis was a fantastic
massive,
story. Say that again, Chris.
I said it felt massive. It felt like a big, a proper fight, like a boxing fight, a heavyweight boxing.
Well, yeah,
match.
when you had DDP and Tommy Dreamer in Cody's corner, for
Ace
example,
was there as well.
And then Jeff Jarrett and Sean Daivari was in Nick Aldis's corner, wasn't he?
Yeah, Tim Storm.
Tim Storm, wasn't it? I think, yeah. And that was just a fantastic, and if you wanted the NWA World Heavyweight title to mean anything, to put it in front of that amount of fans on a quote-unquote independent show where everyone's working together. I mean, the commentary team was Ring of Honor, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
So everyone come together for that show, and it was superb. From start to finish in different ways. Hangman Page was fantastic. Joey Janela, who I'd only heard about with his spring breaks and stuff that are advertised on Twitter, I thought he was one of the stars of the show. Penelope Ford, who I'd heard a little bit about, showed amazing athleticism during that match. You got the main event of the Golden Elite against Rey Mysterio, Bandido, and
Phoenix.
Who was that, sorry?
Phoenix,
yeah. Just everything Mighty Skrull against the Rainmaker, Kashika Okada. That was superb as well. I mean, yeah, I just hope this is the first All-In of many.
Yeah.
And this was an absolute game changer. The fact that New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor are running Madison Square Garden next year, and people don't think this is the best time ever to be a fan or a writer or a reporter or a journalist on professional wrestling, then you need your head seen too, really. It's amazing. It's incredible to be associated with professional wrestling at the moment.
It also shows how massive the Nick Aldis has done, how great job Nick Aldis has done with the NWA tag, because he won it in front of 400 people, and he lost it in front of 10,000 people. So, just show how much he's elevated that title.
Uh-huh.
And 209 days he's had it. So do you think WWE learned anything?
Sorry, 1 second, Chris. It was 11,000 in the end, wasn't it? 11,000 and something, according to the official Twitter of All In.
Was it? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So do you think WWE learnt anything from All In for this show? Because I think the story, the matches were all given a great amount of time. I think the shortest match was 13 minutes. I think everybody looked like a star coming out of every match like they did All In.
Uh-huh.
I've been saying, have six or seven good matches on a pay-per-view. Everyone loves it. Or have SummerSlam where
NSL was so good, I think that's because, do you think it's all thanks to All In?
I'm not saying All In, but I think they've watched it in sports. People like wrestling. People, the heart.
The thing is, in this situation, though, lads, is the Pro Wrestling Subjective show I went to on Sunday. That had six matches, and that felt like it was a long enough card.
Yeah.
So less is more. Yeah.
So say at SummerSlam, yeah. Was it? What was the last one we reviewed? Was that SummerSlam?
Yeah.
And
the no.
It was Nick.
What did we do after SummerSlam?
Nothing.
No, we did one. What was the one we did a couple of weeks ago with Mark?
Was that? No, that was yeah.
We're just talking about the good brothers, the English, all the best wrestlers in the world.
Yes, PWI 500.
That's good brother.
Was Paul London 9 in the top 500? Or was it my eyes?
I've not seen it. So.
I saw the top 500 and I don't think he was in it at all. And that really shocked me. Because I guess he was, you know, he had an injury back in April and stuff, but still.
Alright, so we're well over an hour, so should we wrap up?
Yeah, you might have to cut this one down, Chris. Good chat, though, lads.
Alright, so before we go, please check out my interview with Shikara, Golden Grappler, and winner of the 2018 Johnny Kidd Invitational, Travis Huckabee. It's already past 500 listens, so thank you for everyone. So, it was only released on Friday, so all our Shikara interviews are do brilliant, so.
We are awesome.
I'm going to work on getting your interviews listened to there, Nick. Nick doesn't do any interviews.
Charming.
Well, you said you were trying to do the Riptide one, Nick, and we're still waiting.
Yeah,
Chris. Yeah, okay. I'm trying to get your interviews listening to, Chris.
So all the ones from...
It's just... I was kind of going to work before, so I was listening to them there and back, and I'm kind of without a job right now. So, if anyone's hiring, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram. There you go.
Yeah, all the ones from WrestleMediaCon, you can listen to it under an hour. They're on one big playlist. So if you enjoy our show, check us out on Twitter, it's BBGWPod, and we'll see you for our review of Super Showdown Down Under in Australia. Which has a really good card from what I've seen.
So, uh-huh.
Good night.
Very good. Good night, everyone.